Chapter 4: Hatching a Plan. Robbie and Kirsty's mother was seeing the three of them coming in with the boat, and she was putting the tatties on the boil as they went to the shore. She set down a muckle dish and mince up at the table. "We'll know," she said, putting a spoon in the tatties. "You surely had you a good day at the boat, and the weather's fine. I saw you were hauled up on Grista. Did you hear look about the place? I may look at it there." "Yeah, it was splendid," Kirsty said, sharpening her mitt together and pouring tomato sauce over it. "Had us good fun poking about your old horses. There wasn't a muckle left inside, but we could still see a lock of stuff that was being left. Pots and pans and brooks of some furniture, but missed what was when Brawley nearly laid in coom with the roofs coming in." "Kirsty, that is a mess for a mad dog," her father said, seeing the slester upon her plate. "Foo came you on with the creelers, bairns?" "Oh, yeah, had work at a treat," George told him, minding the fun they had set in them. "We padded on the side of the bar that lies aft the side of the isle, and we could see it up at the bottom the right way up. All we need now is some fine lobsters to crawl inside it." "Well, you might be lucky. Your nae used to be a good place for them," Peter said, reckoning for the pepper. "Did you leave plenty of length up the rock for the flood tide?" "Yeah," said Robbie, keen to let him ken he was talked about that. "We set it with the half tide, and there were a good 6 feet of spare rock, so it should be fine. Hopefully we'll lift them the morn and see what we hae. Do you ken what the forecast is for the morn?" He was heard the wireless on when he came in, and he kent his father never missed the weather after the news. "Well, they were saying this fine spell should be here for 20 days yet, so maybe another fine day the morn for us, although he's coming down must know. See's to that. You can hardly see the other side of the vow." They looked up the window, and right and yoch the wind was fan awa', and the blue sky was keen, leaving everything grey and kind and dree. They spak awa' as they out, mistlings about the day out they were hid. Peter telt them a' about Grista and the folk that used to bide there, when they left the isle, and what he minded about gyan there when he was a boy. They a' found it interesting, and couldna wait to gang back again, and maybe even row right around the isle. Their mother said she was had a day begging for the Sunday teas of the hall, and would have to make mair meat for the supper dance of the hall on Saturday night. "No, bairns, I was speaking with Julie at the shop earlier, and she was saying that there were twa unken men in this afternoon that came in a van that sounds a lot like the inn that you had yon run in with yesterday. She said she didn't like the look of them, awful shifty and strange, the way they looked about the shop and hardly said a word to in another, nor to her. And she was noticed that they wouldn't have been in afore, and was asked them if they needed any directions or that. And she said they both kind of looked at one another, and then one of them said that no, they didn't need anything, and they had been up here painting phone boxes, but were finished now." Robbie gave George and Kirsty's feet a pretty nug, and they both glanced across the table at him. "Julie said that that's all they mentioned. Then set their money down up at the counter and left, no even a thanks or a cheerio. Very strange." "Heth," I said to her, "as I was I had been in at the time, they would have gotten a piece of my mind for what they did to the three of you." She said there was something about them that made her awful uneasy. She didn't like it a va. "Whether they're still around here, well, wha kens, but yon's what she said." "We dunna want to bland things with a proportion," Peter said. "Still, strange that yon van has been back again. Aye. Canna ken putting phone boxes they're painting for Ronnie, the twa thin about a dozen mile and they're baith aluminium. They're likely a couple of young blooming antique dealers or something. Bad news. I hope they dunno come along workhouse then," George said, "for they're nothing but old broke around worse." Abbey gaffed and carried on speaking, but Robbie, George and Kirsty was keen to get awa' once the table was cleared. "Did you hear yon?" Kirsty said to them when they were win at the bain end. "They sound like a couple of crooks." "Ken," Robbie said, sitting up at the windowsill, "if they're up here painting phone boxes, then what on earth were they doing up at the old ha? It's that far out of the way, and you canna end up there by accident, for the road doesn't ging on any way either. It's just a gravely road that gings a way over the hill. They're definitely up to something. I wonder what it might be." "I think we should ging for a look," said George, sitting down up at the couch next to where the cat was sleeping, "and see what's going on at the ha. I don't again, Robbie answered. I've never been there afore, and what I've been told not to go there, for it's no in great condition. Who would we ken if there anything unusual or no? But thanks to Kirsty. I'm no sure of that, she said. It seems brawly strange by what Julie in the shop said. There's something that doesn't seem right about it, but I don't think we should get involved. If they're bad folk, then I don't want to go near them. If there were misanthropy with them yesterday. The three of them sat for a moment thinking about the whole thing. Then Robbie minded what George was said outside the house earlier about maybe having an adventure. I think that's right, George. We should go up to the Haugh for a look tonight. We could cycle there and hear a scout about the place, see if there are any clues to what they're really up to. George's een lit up and he stood to his foot, making the cat spang off of the couch and disappear out the door. Yeah, let's go. We wouldn't be doing any harm having a peep. And I want the king quit thereafter. Come on, let's get a move on. Robbie wandered out of the door with George following him. But Kirsty wasn't so keen. Boys, I don't think we should. We're not meant to be there, and I don't like this. I'm going to bide home. Oh, well, fine that, said her brother. Just don't tell Mam and Dad where we're going then. We had to keep this to ourselves. What thinks to would come at was Kirsty? Maybe they'll come or bound there. Oh, I don't again. I don't want to. Well, okay, I'll come too for the cycle, but I might no going down to the Haugh. That's fine. We'll say that we're going up to George's for a start and we'll be back later. They stacked their heads to the kitchen door and told their folk they were heading up to the Tugs and we'll be back by about 10 o'clock. They didn't hang around for an answer but made out the door as fast as was decent and into the shed where they keep their bikes.